80% of the weight of the business relationship is going to be developed, and those seeds are going to be planted during the prospecting process. That means you're going to be giving the very first impression of yourself, and in some cases, the very first impression of the company that you work for or the business that you own. Going into that restaurant, that is going to, it's like this saying that first impressions are everything, right? So that you don't get another shot at first impressions, and that all happens during the very beginning phases of the prospecting. All right, welcome back to the Food Service Distribution Podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about prospecting. Prospecting customers, prospecting restaurants, to be specific. All right, today is the 30th of April. We are all still in quarantine. This is the 14th episode I have recorded since we have started quarantine, I believe, something like that. And prospecting, the topic of today's podcast is probably, I would say definitely, the most important piece of my career and the most important piece of everything that I have done as a food service sales professional up until this point. Currently, I work as an account executive. I am not doing a ton of prospecting, but I miss it dearly, especially in these times where we are not able to go out and visit with our customers or go out looking for new customers. I've been thinking a lot about it lately and made some notes, made some bullet points that I wanted to talk through and share with anybody who is up and coming, a professional in the food service distribution industry, the sales industry, business development, selling to restaurants. And you don't have to be a distributor. You could be selling or marketing POS systems or chemicals like an Ecolab or fire suppression systems, safety equipment, kitchen equipment, all kinds of stuff. So this is not specifically for food service distributors or territory sales managers, marketing associates, but it was geared towards those people, all right? So one note before I get started here, and this is a little long-winded, so I appreciate you bearing with me. This is the exact podcast that I always looked for, the how to prospect customers in the restaurant business, how to, what questions to ask, who to ask, what to look for. I always wanted to listen to something like this while I was out in an outside sales role with Sysco Foods, and this is why I'm doing the show, right? So I think that's important to note. This is what I was looking for. I never found it. So hopefully this is helping somebody who's, you know, 7 or 8 years behind where I am today, and they're looking on Spotify or Apple saying, you know, searching terms like prospecting restaurants. So I'm going to call this one Actionable Prospecting Tips for Restaurant Distribution Professionals. And the first thing to do here is just to define what is prospecting to me, okay? So all of this is going to be my opinion based off of the past decade or so of experience in the sales industry. Prospecting is an ongoing effort, first and foremost. You're never going to open an account the first time you go in. You're never going to close the business or have somebody sign a contract the first time you go in. So just know that ahead of time, you're going to probably have at least 10 to 15, sometimes in my case, up to 50 different touch points if the account's big enough before you actually get someone to sign a contract or buy some product from you for the first time. So it's ongoing. Know that going into it. Be used to getting a lot of rejection and having to overcome a lot of objections, okay? Second, what prospecting is, it's the most overlooked and undervalued part of sales, okay? So from my perspective, 80% of the weight of the business relationship is going to be developed, and those seeds are going to be planted during the prospecting process. That means you're going to be giving the very first impression of yourself, and in some cases, the very first impression of the company that you work for or the business that you own. Going into that restaurant, that is going to, it's like this saying that first impressions are everything, right? So that you don't get another shot at first impressions, and that all happens during the very beginning phases of the prospecting. You are building trust. Okay, so trust is one of those things that takes a long time to build, and you can destroy it completely in a second if you lie or you're dishonest or you're taking advantage of someone. So the trust that's built, probably 90% of the trust in a relationship is built during the prospecting, courting, onboarding type process. So it's very important. The bulk of the research and learning about the customer is going to be done in this prospecting phase. And the negotiations, that's probably the most important part. So if you're going after an account that is big enough to get contracts put in place, you are probably going to do annual or 3-year contracts. And the negotiation phase of what is the fee per case is, what are we going to charge for this? What is the bill back going to be? How much of the bill back are we going to pass on to the customer? That type of thing. That's only going to happen once in the first 12 months of that business relationship, sometimes up to 3 years. Okay. So all of that, that's why I say about 80% of the weight of the business relationship is built, is developed, and it is front-loaded into the prospecting process. All right. The third thing that prospecting is the bulk of the heavy lifting in the entire sales cycle. Okay. So kind of ties in with point number two. But it is the bulk of all of the heavy lifting. Once you actually onboard the customer and then you manage it, it's all about maintaining that relationship. There's a lot to do from there. I know this. I've been in account management and account executive positions for a while. I understand that. But the front end work and all that prospecting, that is the bulk of the heavy lifting. Okay. So I'm going to break this into 4 segments, and I'm actually only going to focus on the first 2 segments today because there's a ton of information. As I was putting bullet points together, I thought this is going to be way too long of a video. No one's going to want to sit through it if I'm going through all of the once you get the account, what do you do phases. So that's going to be a second video. So the 4 phases of prospecting are going to be the research, asking for the business, onboarding, and then managing the account. So focusing primarily today on just that researching and asking for the business. So first part under the research section is to do your homework. A lot of people just kind of wing it, and it's the equivalent of just making cold calls without learning anything about the business. There's no reason at all why you should ever be in a cold call type situation with a restaurant. Every restaurant has some sort of presence on social media. A lot of them have websites. A lot of them have tons of marketing material. They're trying to tell people what they're about and what they are doing there. And you have selling to restaurants, you are in a position that you have an incredible amount of information up front about those customers without having to do much. Okay. So do your homework and collect information and really understand their business. That's something that you are going to find creative ways to doing. And we'll get into the actionable steps. But that just kind of sets the stage for what we're going to talk about. Go eat there. Okay. So when I first started my outside sales career, and I'm not going to try and talk too much about my past outside of the actionable data points that I've pulled from it. But I used to go into restaurants that I had never eaten at. I had never really looked at the menu. I've driven by them, and I would just pop in, ask for the owner, drop off my business card, and leave. And you kind of wonder why they didn't call. Like, oh, they didn't like me. It takes a massive amount of information up front, usually, to win over a customer. I win over a restaurant. Okay, so. Go in there, sit down, eat, extract as much information as you can about the culture, about the vibe, what kind of music are they listening to, and just absorb, okay? I would recommend even doing that before you even introduce yourself. So do it once, go in there and eat and just observe. How many tables do they have? How many customers can they serve at once? What does it look like during a breakfast rush or a lunch rush or dinner rush, depending on the type of business? And just lay that groundwork, okay? It's fun to do that. Also take your significant other or a friend or somebody out to a new bar or a new restaurant that you're prospecting and just have the experience. And you can usually leverage that experience the next time that you go in, and you can comment about what you ordered and how you liked it. Probably wait until later in the relationship to give any negative feedback or critiques on things that you noticed on any servers or, any dishes or any recommendations like that. You can subtly give recommendations, but I would probably wait until the second or third visit for that. Okay. So, while you're in there, read the menu, go through the menu. I would do line by line and try to think based off of your knowledge in the industry. If there are very heavy proteins or very heavy salads or, inexpensive items, like rice or like potatoes, starches, See where those items are weighted and try to get an idea on whether their plate cost is on par with other restaurants that you serve, right? So try to have try to gain some sort of an idea of what is their most popular dish, what is their most expensive and their least expensive dish. Of course, looking at what type of, you know, French fries do they use and what type of cuts are their proteins and all of those things. That obviously takes a lot more time and experience going to different cuttings and looking at different products and marketing food for a while. But you try to get an understanding of what's on the menu and what they're offering and how they, where their food cost might be. Okay. So that's one of the recommendations that later on you're going to want to be able to make is that, depending on your type of business, you should have your food cost at 25% or 30% or, whatever makes sense for them. And doing those initial recon and kind of getting that idea, being able to speculate on where they might be is going to be important in the long run. All right. So, while you're in there, make sure you're doing things that are going to help you understand who they're shopping with or who they're working with right now. So if you take a look at salt and pepper packets or sugar packets or the back of utensils, sometimes napkins and cups, a lot of distributors will actually mark that, like they're marking their territory. So you can see a U.S. Foods or a Sysco or, whoever the distributor that's in there already is, chances are their items are planted around the restaurant. So take a look at some of those items. If you happen to be able to leave out of the back or if you happen to walk through an area that you can see the kitchen, same thing with the boxes. A lot of the disposable boxes that you'll see up on the shelves are going to have that distributor or that distributor's private label brand plastered all over the kitchen. So it's pretty easy to tell once you've been into a few kitchens on how much on who the restaurant's buying from and how much of their product is coming from that certain distributor. So there are a few questions that you're going to want to be able to answer before you go in and ask for the business. So let's back up a little bit. Make sure that if you are at that point where you feel like you can ask for the business or ask if you can call on them on a more regular basis, make sure that you know who to ask those questions to. So identifying the decision maker, sometimes it will be the owner or it'll be the head chef or one of the cooks or the manager, assistant manager. They are usually, in every restaurant, it's going to be different who is actually making the decision about the items that they're buying, especially if there's multiple vendors in that account already. Most of the time, you want to funnel through to the owner, and they would be able to assist you in your search for the decision maker on the food or on the products that you're marketing. But make sure that you're doing that legwork and figuring out who these questions should be going to. Having said that, there are multiple occasions in my past that I have been able to develop a relationship early on with the cooks or the managers or the servers or somebody who is not in a decision-making position, and somebody will leave or somebody will get promoted, and that person who you've already built a rapport and a relationship with gets promoted into a decision-making position. So that happens a lot, actually, especially in the restaurant industry. The turnover is fairly high, even for manager positions. So it's something to consider. The two key pieces there, though, is make sure that you're not ever expecting anything out of that relationship. So if you're going around building relationships with everyone in the restaurant, expecting to ask for something in return in the future, that's not a good look. It's usually people will see that you're after something, and I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend doing anything that could break the trust or that's not genuine from the get. And the second piece is just be genuine, right? You're in this business probably because you like people naturally and you like to be around people and you like to provide solutions or help them. So, don't go looking for how do I benefit from this account? It's always how can I help this person and how can I develop the relationship with this person because that's why you're doing this, right? Okay, so to jump onto the questions that you are going to want to answer before you ask for the business, that's important. What makes this restaurant successful? Be able to answer that. What makes them unique? Okay. Who are their competitors? And that will help define what makes them unique also. What are their pain points? Okay, so what are they struggling with? What do they need help with? How can you, your company, or somebody else provide a solution for those pain points, right? And where can you provide value? So all of these things are kind of tied in with each other, but make sure that you can, on the fly, answer those questions if somebody was to ask, you know, why you? You know, I already have all of these sales reps. I already have a distributor. I already have this. So that's part of the overcoming objections process. And just thinking about this, you know, what can I bring to the table for these guys? That's going to help out tremendously. If you have already thought it through, you've already decided what makes you unique and special and provide value. For when that conversation happens, it'll be easy. You won't be reaching. You'll be able to have a strong conversation and conviction saying that my company is the right one for you, or I'm your guy, and this is why. Okay, so think through those five. So what makes this restaurant successful? What makes them unique? Who are their competitors? What are their pain points? And where can you provide value? Okay, so as a part of the research, fact-finding on a restaurant or any business for that matter, make sure that you are utilizing their presence online, on social media, their websites. A lot of accounts, restaurants have Twitters and Instagram, and probably most heavily used, depending on the type of restaurant or chain, it's going to be LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is great for, I've done a ton of networking on LinkedIn. It's good to get not only a snapshot of what somebody does and kind of how they evaluate themselves in their current role, but their history, what they've done in their past. Maybe you guys went to the same school from the same city. Maybe you know some people who went to the same school or from that part where they grew up, and the connections that they've made. Chances are, if you utilize LinkedIn as a good networking tool, all of the owners or the people that are also on the platform are going to have, you're going to have a second or third layer connection with somebody else that they know. So there's always ways to make connections, and that could go a lot farther than you would think. But you have to do the groundwork and go through the whole process to see who do they know, where are they from, what are they into, what organizations do they belong to, and all that stuff. So that's very helpful. It's always been extremely helpful. It's helpful with finding jobs. It's helpful with networking with prospect customers and just building relationships with people in general. So make sure you're looking at all that stuff. One of the things that you're going to be looking at or looking for, I refer to always as little breadcrumbs or hints, hints of awesomeness and what, you know, weird things that I refer to. You get these breadcrumbs of culture and what they care about and what they're into, and that goes a long way too. Now, you never want to suggest that you're interested in something that you're not, but say somebody has an Instagram account or a Twitter or a Facebook where they're a part of an organization, a part of a cause, liking even a certain kind of music, or maybe, again, you have those, friends that are or network with the same type of people. You want to know that information ahead of time and be able to tap into that type of information if it comes up. Again, with that whole piece is do not force anything. Don't be weird. Don't bring something up that's going to that people are going to kind of think, hey, were you on my Facebook? Because it's weird. Don't do that. All right. Let's see. Be consistent. That's the next thing. Be consistent. You are never going to open the account on day one. So make sure you are having multiple touch points. You're going in, you are, dropping off certain marketing materials. I'll jump into that in a few points down the list, but make sure you are being consistent. Even if it's going in at the end of the day to have a beer and close out your sales day and sit up and just chat with the bartender, doing that once every other week or once a month or however long, that goes a long way because this is an ongoing thing. You want to have, I think we used to have out of a, I probably have between 10 to 20% new business in my pipeline at all times. So 10 to 20% of my current GP for an entire sales territory in the works at once, right? And I would open up a new one that would increase by 5%, by 10%, by 15%. And you always have to have more in the pipeline behind those accounts or behind those prospect accounts. So it's ongoing. Sometimes it takes years to open up an account, but you want to make sure that you are making those touch points, being consistent, showing up, and demonstrating that you're around. And whether that's in person or making phone calls or shooting emails or text messages, whatever it might be, it's important. Okay. So when you do those touch points, you want to maybe drop off some reminders of kind of who you are, who your company is. If you have deals going on with certain types of food or certain, you know, POS systems and seller, I keep going back to POS systems. You know, what else is new restaurants buy? Really though, if you have deals, if you have any marketing materials that are you think are going to be relevant and you don't want to bombard them, but it's good to drop it off. Let them know that you're there. Your business card is the same way. I'm sure they already have your contact information if you're showing up multiple times, but it's good to make sure you get that business card into the right hands. If you have market conditions or you know something's coming up, something's in the pipeline with the supply chain or currently right now with, you know, pork prices, we've seen a massive crunch on the supply of pork. There's not enough production plants to process pork. So farmers are, you know, euthanizing pigs, and it's this piece of the market that a lot of people don't normally talk about or think about. So if you're able to bring some of that information about the conditions of the products that you know they're buying, saying, hey, price might go up, or hey, look for a deal, price is probably going to go down. Bring that type of information too. And depending on where you are in that stage of the developing the relationship, you'll know what's weird to talk about, and you'll know what they're looking for. Okay, so that's that portion. Okay, so the next two is kind of a combined into one. I'm just going to say I can't stress enough. You have to be genuine with this whole process, and being trustworthy and transparent from the get. Okay, do not come in promising anything that you are not going to be able to deliver. So the saying in sales is always to under promise, over deliver. I don't know if I love that. I like to do kind of a promise what you can do and make sure you can deliver. Okay. So you want to be able to sell the business or your services authentically and how you are going to service them. You don't want to oversell. You don't want to promise things that you know are unrealistic, and you cannot lock in pricing or anything that you are not able to provide. So make sure that you are staying on top of being a transparent and just authentic, genuine person, salesperson while you're in there. Drives me crazy when I see guys come in and try to undercut my accounts with promising the world, promising a contract price that I know is under market. And it's knowing that that's only going to last for 30 to 60 days. That's a part of the game, but do not play it if you don't have to. If you're working for or with a company that you have to play those games, maybe reconsider what you're doing. I'm just kidding. That's probably the most important thing that you can get out of any of this. If you're new to sales and you're thinking, how can I have the best pitch or the best, go in and try to give this slick presentation? It's not about that. Sales and business development is customer service. Okay. At the core of everything, it is customer service. And then there are certain techniques and tactics and stuff that you can use to better leverage the, everything that you have at your disposal, the resources that you have, but at the core of everything, it is customer service. So when I was, and I said I wasn't going to talk too much about my past, but this is a really, really cool story that I always think about. When I was getting into territory sales, moving from a customer service position into my first sales territory, I went in and had a sit-down interview with the vice president of a national accounts program at a big distributor that I worked for. And I asked him for his advice. What do I do? Getting into this position, I know I've sold insurance. I've sold different things in the past, and I've been real, cold calling and hitting the pavement like that. But I've never been in a restaurant marketing type position. So I wanted his advice. Like, what's the secret? What's the trick? And I remember he said, David, customers are going to buy from you for two different reasons, and they are very, very far apart, but equally as important. And that's price and product, and if they like you. Okay, they're equally as important, and they're far apart. So you can obviously have a good price, good product, and they like you. But that was a really valuable lesson to understand that the relationship and the service that you provide is as important as getting them a good deal, or having the best product. And anyways, that stuck with me. I hope that somebody listens to that, and that's the first time they've heard something like that, and it has the same effect on them that it did on me. All right, so moving past that whole piece, Gonna jump into the next thing. You need to care more about improving their business. So actually, this is, it's really all the same. You're probably noticing the same theme here with everything that I'm talking about. Care more about improving their business than increasing your own sales. That is something that you are, that's going to be obvious. Do you care about selling more boxes, or do you care about providing some sort of value that's above and beyond what other people who are just dragging a bag and punching orders are doing for them already? And one of those things, so this is something that I try to be a conceptual learner when I look at industries, and I try to provide value through the lens of a consultant as often as I can to my customers and my coworkers and you know, even friends and family. Do I know something that I can share? How can I educate in an easily digestible way? And how can I be a consultant in certain areas? Okay. So in order to be a consultant to restaurant owners or people who you would be trying to win over, you need to have knowledge on the industry. And that happens, that grows throughout time. It develops throughout time. I'm still learning a tremendous amount every day and every week about the protein industries and all the things that are happening right now with supply chain. We're in a very different environment today than we were, you know, 8 years ago when I first got involved in all of this. But at the core, I knew a little bit about the industry, a little bit about the products, about how to market food products. And I've been learning about brands and manufacturing and vendors and redistributors and all of these different steps along the way that allows you to have a much larger grasp on supply chain. So that comes over time. But you want to know specific things that you can bring in that maybe you people are hearing on the news and they're not fully aware of. Which would be, how is a tomato crop, right? Are tomatoes going to be expensive? In December, tomato prices went absolutely through the roof. And it's because in Florida, some of the tomato growers had opted out of that crop for the year. We were getting 100% of our products from Mexico. They were being imported. And there was two major weather events that decimated a crop that froze off some of the buds for the next crop. And this was a huge deal to some of my chain restaurants that have tomatoes as one of the staples in most of their items. So having to learn about what was going on in that industry only made me a better asset to them saying, hey, this is coming down the pipeline or coming down the pike, and we are going to have issues with tomatoes going into the next few months. The main thing there is that nobody likes to be surprised. And if you can be that consultant who can move them from one product to another, or at least give them a heads up so that they know something's going to happen, they're going to look to you as somebody who knows their stuff and can be relied on as that type of position, something that's missing from their business. Okay. So I cannot stress this next one enough. Know your numbers. Know your numbers and know their numbers. So as I touched on before, if you're able to take a look at a menu or take a look at a specific item on the menu and try to break it down, reverse engineer it into portion cost and portion controls on what a business or what a restaurant is doing, having that level of information on or level of knowledge on how expensive each of their dishes are and being able to suggest if it's a higher or lower price than where it should be. Excuse me. I've had this LaCroix in my hand for like 20 minutes. I'm getting parched. It's actually, it's 5:30 here. It's definitely happy hour, and that could have been a beer, but I'm going to get through the rest of these steps here and then go and enjoy a beer afterwards. All right. So knowing your numbers is so incredibly important to your own business, right? So you're going to want to know what the growth in your territory, your growth expectancy is, the profit margin that you're trying to attain. And there are a lot of components to your own business. If you can take a little bit of time learning how money flows through a restaurant and what the biggest pain points price-wise, usually it's going to be labor. Okay. So there's labor and there's food cost and there's overhead like rent and utilities. There are so many different things that restaurant owners are paying for. So at least understanding where those should be percentage-wise roughly will put you worlds ahead of honestly, most sales reps and territory sales managers, marketing associates that are in the business today. They know a lot about product, or they know a lot about numbers, or they know a lot about the industry, but they might not know about all of it. And numbers is an excellent way to provide your value to a restaurant. Trust that. Okay, so a couple of bullet points I had, you know, be able to estimate what their numbers are, be able to estimate what their labor cost, overhead, food cost, that kind of stuff is, but already run through that. That's almost everything that I have. So as you're going through this process, you're going to want to ask for the business in different ways, right? You're going to ask for permission. So you identify who you're going to be talking to. Identify the decision maker, whether that be the owner or the chef or the manager, whoever it is. Know who to ask these questions to. And you're going to want to ask them first if you can call on them. So a big part of asking for the business is asking whether or not they're okay with you dropping in every 2 weeks or every week, or do you mind if I come through the back door? Do you mind if I drop off marketing materials or give you current market conditions? These are the types of things that you're going to want to do to provide that extra level of service and value to these prospect customers, but you're going to want to ask permission in one way or another, whether or not you just develop the relationship through the point of not having to ask permission, or you just straight out and ask permission. So the next step to that would be asking for the business. Don't ever be afraid to ask for the business. Do you think that you would want to try us out? We have a 15 case minimum, and you know, this is the pricing that we've provided for you. When do you think I can get the I can get a shot here? Or there's a million different ways to ask, but you want to make sure that you're constantly going through that exercise of asking for the business. Okay. So one thing that you're going to run into a lot in this business, just like any other sales profession, is you're going to get objections to why they're okay. They don't want to make any changes. So you have to look for subtle hints and clues where you can insert your, you know, ability to understand their numbers better than anybody else, or what you bring to the table, that value that you bring to the table. You have to look for little hints and areas that they are actually needing help without knowing that they need help. And then subtly and without offending anyone, insert some of that expertise and some of that help. And a lot of it might just come from being able to provide marketing materials your company already has, or it might be something unique that you bring to the table, or that you can bring to the table that they aren't seeing. It's the important thing, though, is that you are identifying what those objections are. So if you cannot overcome them on the spot, you can go back, make some notes when you get back out to your car, get off the phone, and think about it. You know, are these legitimate reasons for them not to do business with us? Or is this something that I can think a little bit about, research what their issue is, and then come and bring it to them on a silver platter and say, hey, I thought about the conversation we had, and this is my idea for how you can market better using your TV monitors, or how you can reduce food cost 2% on these dishes, or how you can consolidate vendors and get these similar or two items that came from the same vendor that you're currently buying from two separate vendors. There's so many different ways you can provide value. It's always there. Nobody's business is ever 100% buttoned up. All right, to conclude the section of asking for the business, this is the last piece that I'm going to run through. Just a quick summary of what I just talked about. So do not be afraid to ask for the business, right? This is the industry, or this is the position that you have decided to get into, and you need to know that you provide value to customers, that they are going to benefit, their business will benefit from working with you and your company. So do not be afraid to just go for it, ask for it. That's why you're building the relationship. That's why you're building the rapport. You have a service or a product that is going to help them, and it is your duty to help their business grow by providing that service or product, okay? Do not take no personally. You got in the wrong business if you are afraid of hearing the word no. So sales, business development, marketing, all of that, you're going to go after new business all the time, and you might close 2% of it, and that is fine. Learn to deal with it. Learn to have thicker skin and move past it. Builds character, and it's fun. All right. So Take note of objections. That's the next one. If you cannot overcome objections on the spot, at least take note. Make sure that you know why they are not interested in switching distributors or in working with you, and think about it. See if there's something that you can do to better present your case and your use case and your value next time that you go in there. Okay, so if you can't overcome objections, take note. Be a consultant, right? We already talked that. I beat that one to death. You need to know as much as you can about your industry, the people you're working with, the products, the vendors, the brands, the everything, okay? So be a consultant, approach everything in life like that. Always be honest, no matter what. Trust takes a long time to build and an instant to break. So that's another, you know, not just in business, hopefully in life also, but just be honest. Do not get caught saying something that is not accurate. You don't want to go down that path, and it just makes things a lot easier. All right. So be honest. The last one is to have fun, right? You want to be someone that the customer or the restaurant, whoever, you want to be someone that they want to see, that they want to do business with, that they can see themselves being in a long-term partnership and working business relationship with. You want to have fun if you can. If that's not your personality, you're not going into, you know, have fun and have a good time, that's fine. Just do not be upset that you're working, or do not bring any negative energy or negative attitudes into a restaurant or into a business that you're prospecting under any circumstances. You want to, if you cannot be someone that is going to make them happy to see you or in a better mood when you're around, at least do not bring them down when you're around. Because if you're a negative presence, you're weighing on the business or weighing on anybody's attitudes, you will never get that business. Okay, that's the last piece that I wanted to cover. I really appreciate if you made it this far in the video. Thank you. Or in the podcast, if you're listening, thank you. I hope this helped. Again, this is the type of content that I always looked for when I was first starting my sales career. And hopefully this is providing value to other people. So go ahead and like, subscribe, do all that stuff. And I'm going to put another video up here that I really think that you'll like. And I'm going to put something over here too, where you can subscribe to the page or whatever. All right. Have a good evening. Happy Thursday. Whew, week's almost over, which means, I don't know, what does it mean for you? You working this weekend? I'd like to hear about it. Follow me on Twitter at foodservicepod, or at my personal Twitter at dmlate. Reach out, connect with me on LinkedIn if you'd like. I would love to have suggestions on things that you want to learn about. And anybody wants to be interviewed, hit me up. Let me know. Let's do this. All right. I appreciate it. Stay safe. Peace.